You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Another amazing, incredible, enlightening Cooligans episode.
Damn, bro, you hit play and you didn't even realize you joined a cult.
That's right.
So welcome aboard.
Stop talking to your families starting now.
Okay. And going forward,
you heard our Lord has just spoken.
All right, make sure you're all wearing your special underwear.
That's right. We can sniff.
All right, rules are rules. You want to be a part of the cult or not?
Listen, Blangola's a weird country, dude.
We've got some weird customs.
We've got odd religious freedoms.
What's good, everybody? Welcome.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
My name is Cristian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We out here. We're doing this. Shout out again to Robbie Musto for coming through on the show on Monday. The show's getting a lot of great feedback. People were just like, wow, how'd you do that? Why did Robbie Musto come on your show?
Yeah, did he owe you a favor? There was a lot of that.
We don't need those comments. Just say you like
it. Yeah, mom. Just shut up and listen.
Just say you're proud of me.
Once.
So shout out to Robbie Musto. If you haven't listened to that episode, please go check that out as well. So shout out to everybody watching on YouTube, listening to the podcast. Make sure you hit subscribe. All the things you're supposed to do on the internet nowadays.
We love you for it.
Today's show is going to be dope.
Hey bro, there you go. Okay, I just heard you subscribe. That's pretty dope.
Cool. Feels good hearing that sound when the fan subscribes. We have a dope show today because we have the homie, John Strong, coming through from Fox Sports.
The superstars continue.
Yes, because John is, he's been on the show before, but John is obviously the lead announcer for Fox, and you know, works with Stu Holden. He's the voice that all the
unfortunate.
Stu's our enemy.
Down with Stu. Also part of Blangola.
Okay, that is part of. If you're gonna be in the Blangolan cult,
yeah,
that's one of the rules. You just
now
have
get
to
get over here. And let us stay.
You have to unreasonably dislike Stu Holden.
We love Stu.
He's
right.
One of the nicest people in the world.
He really is.
So. So John Strong is going to be joining us in a little bit to talk some Major League Soccer and the playoffs because he's one of the experts. He's the leading man I trust when it comes to any MLS takes, but he's awesome. But we got to get to it. We mentioned on Monday because Robbie was on. Obviously, we didn't have too much time to talk about MLS, but the MLS playoffs.
Playoffs.
They've gone the first round.
It was great. Thank you for coming, dude.
they started. You know, we're all kind of adjusting to like what it. We didn't know what it was gonna be like.
Give me your quick. Now that the first round, first
the
match
wild card
days,
and the first round.
Yeah, who cares about the wild card? Now that the first match day, that happened already. Now that the first match days of the first round, best of three, now that that's over, what's your quick reaction to this best of three series? Stop touching my water.
My first feeling was like, as soon as the matches kicked off, I'm like, I don't care about this. I don't care about the first one, right?
Like, it's just, it don't mean nothing.
It doesn't really mean anything. And I've seen Nico on Morning Footy kind of mentioned this often.
You should hear him off the air.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, he clearly has a lot of opinions on it.
And we're like, dude, we can't make the whole show about Boca Juniors and you disliking the playoff structure.
Right, because he's even he's interviewing players, he's like, but there's no aggregate, right? You don't care, right? You
every time.
How could you even care about the fact?
He keeps explaining it too, as if people don't understand what an aggregate score is.
But it's like,
because you would have been buried if it was 4-1. Yeah, dude, we know.
We can't keep having the same conversation, right? Like Daniel Shalhoub, I saw on the show, he was just like,
he's a sweetheart.
We just got to adjust, right?
We got to adjust. But what are your initial takes? Because MLS changes the playoffs every year, baby.
Yeah, look, so
they don't change the kits. Everyone in Europe's like, we get new kits every year. MLS like, how about we get new playoffs?
So
every
I mean, I'll show the
they lease their playoff structure,
the scores, and this is and this is relevant to the point I'm about to make.
I did say quick take. You're pulling a Nico here.
No, I'm just saying. Like again, Philadelphia Union 3-1, LAFC 5-2. The games once a team is up two goals,
I'm done.
That's my main issue. And it's just like, I lose something.
You gotta score more. It means nothing. Score as many as you want.
And it takes away.
Buddy, pull the keeper. We don't care. You won.
It takes a little bit of juice out of the game. And that's the frustrating part. That even though, look, I've been watching games. Or if I'm a fan of a team and get heartbroken and like aggregate, you're like, oh man, we scored enough goals or whatever, and it's just like you just it's a frustrating having to do the math, and these goals are worth two.
Think about if you're Sporting Kansas City, mm-hmm. and you lose the next two matches 1-0,
right?
Your fans are gonna be like, bro, on aggregate.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. So I mean, this is the frustration with changing the format.
I don't love this format. I like the idea of a three-game structure because it gives you the, well, we'll find out who's really the best,
mm-hmm.
right? But now that I'm seeing it in action, I think, could they not have tried this at MLX Next Pro?
Okay, Ollie,
could we not?
Ollie Curtis, we should have pitched it to him.
Ollie, could we do a little dry run? You know what I mean? A
little rehearsal.
You know, every once in a while, you and I remember back in the day, we'd be like, all right, let's just do something. There's something we have to do. And then we'd be like, yeah, let's just record it just in case this dry run is the one. You know what I mean? Right. But we still got one out. So, that's what we should have done with this structure, because I think we would have seen the flaw in that. Yo, this first game don't mean nothing, bro.
Yeah, I guess, look, the second game.
They should have done groups. Why didn't they do groups?
Do groups in what?
They should have done a whole pod. Oh,
like a World Cup style group. Yeah.
Champions League, bro.
Could have been interesting as well.
Yeah. Also, why is there so much time in between games?
That's the bigger question. Why is there
an
international
break? It's not a bigger
question.
It's the second one I asked.
If
Sporting Kansas City wins the next game, they have 20 days.
Well, they did
in between matches.
The previous 2 years, or 2 years ago, when they switched the format to the single elimination,
there was 2 weeks until the last round.
Yeah, but the single elimination
was because of that,
alleviated that issue, because the first few years we were going to MLS Cup. You know, the playoffs started in goddamn August, and then it ended in December. I'm exaggerating.
No, but it's true. It was like shorts weather for the first game, and then wearing damn winter coats.
The playoffs shouldn't last this long, because it's like,
you shouldn't go through two seasons.
Okay. We shouldn't go through two menstrual cycles before we get to the final.
Which is finally, I'm glad, our new sponsor. Imagine that's how we...
I'm just trying to make jokes that incorporate time in them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you got any others, please.
How long
it.
You been in a relationship where you're like, how do I tell people 2 months? Oh, I know. Bleeding.
Okay. It's natural and it's a beautiful process.
Right. Yeah, dog. Free bleed. Blangola allows it, bro. In fact, it encourages it.
Okay. No tampons allowed here. Anyway.
Every seat covered in plastic.
We mentioned.
Like our way last house.
We are comedians, folks. Please don't take us seriously.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed. Sometimes that's not a real flag.
That's the thing. You know, before. When we used to do our show, we used to always say that we were comedians at the top of the show, and then we stopped doing that, and then now people are like, these guys are crazy people. What are they saying?
But also, it's in the clips there's no context. So it's, I encourage you to look at our comments. Right now, there are a lot of Serbians having conversations.
The Larry Nance clip was just him being like, yo, I don't want to play basketball in a fire engulfed arena.
And people are like, how dare you disrespect our culture? One guy legitimately put, yeah, so we kill our neighbors and what? He really wrote that.
I don't know what that means. I hope that's I'm like, just a sports euphemism.
Sir, can you tell us you're a comedian before you type that?
Please do so, because we're getting a little worried.
What you mean, our?
So, yes, that's my main concern. The fact that if the result gets a little out of hand, if a team is up 2-0, where and I think it highlights the fact that there were no draws in these first matches.
Because there wasn't a fight.
So, yeah, there isn't that incentive.
But that changes now that games are on the line.
Right. But still, like, the games that were close, so, like, Dynamo RSL, that was probably one of my favorite games of the first round because they...
It wasn't a blowout.
But it was a back and forth, right? I think Dynamo scored first, then RSL, and then Dynamo got the game winner. But the game was close because if RSL ties it, goes right to penalties. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sense of some of these games. Orlando-Nashville, that game was so brutal outside of the goal, which is
Cartagena, right?
Wilder Cartagena, which is a great name. Like Wilder?
Wilder?
I think he goes by Wilder Cartagena.
Bro, some doctors in Latin America would be like, I can't let you do this. I can't. I'm not. Nah, man, we locking doors, dog. You ain't walking out here with that baby.
You got listening. Yeah.
Nah, yo, open up. I don't care what religion
Bible,
you are.
This is all
yeah,
you can
exactly. I don't care what religion you are. Open a Bible and pick one.
Okay, they're all there.
There's a lot.
There's no more.
You can open up any religious book you want. You can pull scrolls out.
You know, because Dominicans have some wild names.
Oh my God.
So
Dominicans have names sometimes that look like you just smashed your hand on a keyboard.
Okay. It was autocorrect.
Yeah. What's the comedian's real first name?
Who?
Remember the police officer dude.
Oh, Mark DeMayo.
Well, I didn't want to say his whole name because we're about to give his government out. But whatever. What's his government?
Mayo Banex. He does it on stage.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
What is it?
Mayo Banex.
Everyone heard that, right? Mayo Banex. Tell me that doesn't sound like a product in your fruit snack. You're uncomfortable eating because you think it's going to give you cancer.
And they give Mayo you dry Banex.
That's his real first name.
Yeah, Mayo Banex. And that's, he's Dominican and Greek, which is also just a great combo.
What a mix.
But clearly, dad was like, nah, he's going to have a Dominican name.
Yeah, yeah. What if I make it look old Greek when you spell it out?
He's got 60 letters in his first
name.
Yeah,
exactly. Is there a dash and a seven in there?
So, did Elon name him?
Elon.
The games that were where the scores were fairly close were a little bit more interesting. That Orlando Nashville one, outside of the Cartagena goal, I don't even understand. That was one of the most brutal games. I felt bad for Nashville. They just really couldn't figure anything out.
They looked lost.
Absolutely lost. The one game I definitely want to make sure we talk about is St. Louis City against Sporting Kansas City.
This is, I think, the biggest shock. The only home loss.
Right.
So which sucks because I picked St. Louis to go all the way, bro.
This was a game where you just assume St. Louis, especially at home, and Sporting Kansas City, just like,
first playoff, insane season.
You know, so SKC wins 4-2 against San Jose in the wild card, and you're like, oh, that's a sort of a fluke. You know, they got those four goals, but they're playing against a team that's like in bad form. But Sporting Kansas City looked dangerous. They looked and St. Louis looked.
Alan Pulido looks like he's back.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the same thing.
I mean, all the goals. I forgot who scored all. I mean, Shallowy scored. And Dembe was the left back who scored that first goal. It was just like they turned on a a feature that they just never showed the entire
the
year.
The update.
The
OS update came in.
New OS update.
They were like, they looked at their FIFA card and they scratched it out. They're like, nah, I'm going to fix this. Right? I'm going to give myself a little, I'll bump my numbers up a little bit. Yeah,
we're going team of the week on this one.
But the goal from Ndembe and then the goal from Gotti Kingda.
Wow.
Wait, yo, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
You make these people up?
Okay. Because it was just really, really impressive, confident goals. And, you know, Roman Berkey's probably going to win Goalkeeper of the Year. He got my vote.
Yeah. He was incredible.
At letting balls go.
In the regular season. Okay.
He was incredible at letting balls go past him. Yes.
And then you get to the playoffs. They understand this is important, right?
Yeah.
But I also think outside of it being home, maybe... I asked Bradley Carnell this on the show, in a sense. It's like, do you think, like, I said, is this the most difficult thing you've been through this season? Because you've had a pretty successful season throughout. And he mentioned the U.S. Open Cup, sort of the bounce back from that. He's like, that was kind of tough. But I think to some degree, there's like, at least there's something to dangle over these players' head. Because they've been good for so long.
Yeah.
First season, it feels like everything's gone right. Now there's a little bit of fear. And maybe we can kind of see... What they're made out of now.
Yeah.
Whereas SKC, bro, they've been getting beat up for 2 years.
So,
and then they finally squeaked through.
So it's interesting, right? Because if we would have had the single game elimination, St. Louis would have been out right now. Mm-hmm. So does it feel better that they're not and they have an opportunity to stay in?
They stand to benefit the most out of anybody, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, there's... It's democratized the playoffs in a way,
mm-hmm.
allowing this. But remember, after this, it goes to single game elimination.
Right,
so
they
need to patch this up if they win the next two, which they have to, they get to the next round.
Yeah, now every game's an elimination game.
Every single game for them now. So now is like real, real pressure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can ask, like, do we think this is going to be in Kansas City? So can they actually do this? Are they going to turn things around? Because Sporting Kansas City, I mean, just look at the FOT Mob ratings real quick. Really, the one that stands out to me the most is the homie Kyrie Shelton, bro. Kyrie Shelton with an 8.3.
Bro, this guy couldn't score. NYCFC.
He couldn't score. He could barely get minutes. Or even at Sporting Kansas City,
click on his. Honestly, I just want to see what his XG on the day was. 0.10. Not great.
Not great.
That's also not what he's asked to do. Do they have his XA slide down a little bit?
Alexis, he's a forward. They do ask him to score. He does not score.
No, he doesn't. No, but I mean, he facilitates a little more than score.
Well, yes. I think this point of his career, and obviously with Alan Pulido there, he's being asked to kind of just hold up play. And Kyrie, to his credit, he is incredibly good at that.
Yeah, he is.
Man could just hold up the ball and keep possession and keep...
We've been in the league for a minute.
Yeah, I just realized...
He was the first player that recognized us, remember?
Yes, when we were... We went to like a...
A meet and greet.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, I recognize you guys, love the show. And we were like, what?
Okay, that's it. Kyrie, I'm tattooing you on my body, bro.
Bro, I'll never talk about you disrespectfully on the show.
Everyone was like, nobody played poorly on the team. It's just so remarkable to see this team that had such a terrible, terrible start to the year, play this well. And like, who knows if they can keep it going for the rest of the, playoffs, but they intimidated St. Louis, and that's the one thing
in
their house. Yeah.
Yeah. So Peter Vermes, man. You know, when we interviewed him, we tried to shake him a little bit, and he was like, no, it's fine. We'll be fine. And we're like, you ain't going to be fine.
Right. People were calling for his head, basically.
Remember when he gave himself a 5-year extension? He's also the director of football.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm doing a great job.
He's like,
He's like a senator upping their pay.
Yeah.
I think I deserve a raise.
By the decree. I just spoke to the director of football. Great conversation.
He's a great guy. Super handsome. Very nice.
Very smart. He has given me an extension.
So the other thing I wanted to make sure we discussed was Philadelphia Union, New England Revolution, because the Union won at home, which is not a huge surprise. The New England Revolution, obviously, after Bruce Arena got fired and then all the issues with the coaching and there's a lot going on, you would imagine that they're in a little bit of disarray. And I think it showed a little bit in this game.
Yeah, I think getting into the playoffs was part of their... They had such a buffer built in.
Yeah.
They were so good for so long. But if there was... If the season started 12 games later than it did, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. This is not a playoff team in the way they're playing. And also without Carlos Hill, rough.
So, but the big story out of this game was the allegation. Apparently, Bobby Wood made an accusation towards Kai Wagner that there was a slur used in the game. And late in the game, it was pretty chippy, and players were going back and forth, kind of arguing with each other, and there was a long delay to kind of figure out what was going on. I think Witty was on the call for this game. And it's all alleged. I saw Tom Bogert and Pablo Maurer had reported on it and said that there currently is an investigation. I don't know, I don't have any idea which direction is going to go or what's going to happen. We've already kind of experienced this a few times.
So it was
this
a
slur.
This
is the third one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
we had
so
Van Zier,
Taxi
Fontas,
Dante Van Zier.
And now this, bro. It's crazy.
And now this. So, but this is really, really shocking and really disappointing for especially Philadelphia Union fans. Love Kai Wagner.
They were trying to get him re-signed, right? They were trying to get him an extension.
And I think the main issue with that is just like there's no money, right? Oh, they don't want to make him a DP, but they can't pay him. MLS doesn't allow you to pay to when you re-sign a player, you can't pay them an exorbitant amount of money. There's like rules to how much
really
of an increase.
Dumb.
And this is a real issue. And Kai Wagner, we follow him on Instagram, and he posts very like sincerely on his like IG stories. And he says basically I want to stay, and I want to. He's like, he even said like, I'm not even asking for like a lot, but I want to kind of be paid what I'm worth. And there's just nothing they can do because they can't. Alexander Collins from NYCFC kind of left for the same reason. It was like he should be paid a certain amount of money, but MLS will not allow you to pay them to give them an increase unless you like make
so
them
dumb.
A DP.
Yeah. This is so dumb.
It's very silly. So
hopefully a lot of these rules, especially roster and pay rules, switch up now that. So rumor is that MLS is looking to.
Yeah.
Make adjustments
this
to
is,
their
it,
roster
It's
rules.
An interesting one because I guess they're concerned, just the way, this financial fair play. We were talking to Robbie Musto about the stuff with City and the stuff with Everton. Mm. And every league kind of has their own way to rein in spending.
That's
really what it's about. But it's an annoying one as an MLS fan because if there's a player that plays well, the team is penalized. For that. Same thing, Julian Gressel, when he was at Atlanta United.
Or you're unable to keep your player.
You can't keep him because the competition from other teams to pay him more or pay him.
That's kind of what happened with Zella Rayan, right? Why he kind of left abruptly in the middle. They knew they weren't going to be able to keep him.
I thought it was just he got a fat offer
maybe.
From Saudi. And he was
he knew there was no chance Columbus could pay him anything close to that.
MLS has to adjust to the global market and how that is gonna. Well, because I want to. There's players that you love and they can't stay with the team for a long time.
Which
unless
doesn't
they
make
like
sense. Because one of the biggest issues with MLS is being able to keep a good team together.
Right.
It's very difficult. And in a lot of these cases, Alexander Collins was post an MLS Cup wanting to stay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you can't. It's ridiculous.
And Kai Wagner has been not only one of the best players. For the Union, but literally one of the best players in the league. I mean, the other guy. I'm forgetting his name. That takes the penalties on the Union.
Gazdag.
Daniel Gazdag.
Gazdag.
Him and Gazdag are
together. Are great.
Are just two again players you don't necessarily expect.
Needless to say, for the Philly fans, man, I hope it's a big misunderstanding.
I hope so too. So so this is the interesting thing with the. With Kai Wagner, as far as if people are not aware of this story, and if you watch some of the clips from that segment of the game, Kai Wagner is German.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Wood is American. He was born in Hawaii.
Yeah,
but he played in Germany for like 10 years.
And I don't think Kai knew that.
Hoffenheim, I think. I forgot where he played.
Hamburg.
Yeah.
Hamburg.
Hamburg. Oh, that's right. He played in Hamburg.
So Bobby Wood is a fluent German speaker.
I don't think homie knew that.
So that's
which happens to us sometimes. You hear people speak Spanish.
Where we speak fluent German? Yeah.
Yeah,
bro,
dude. And Kai is just saying, wow. No.
People don't know that we know, bro.
Yeah, right? Guten Tag, bro. all types of German. And now people don't realize that we're Latino sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least this might happen more to me.
Happens to me quite a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, okay. And you'll hear people say something, and I'll be like, oh, ¿qué dijiste? You know, or I'll say something in Spanish, like, okay, muchísimas gracias. And with like a heavy accent, I'm like, oh.
Okay. Oh, I mean, that was a Duolingo.
Oops.
And they didn't.
Oops. You don't even know there's an owl on that app. So Kai Wagner had no idea that Bobby Wood spoke German, said something allegedly. I'm just going to say disrespectful because we don't know what it is.
Yeah,
yet.
I don't know what it is. All we know is that we saw Bobby Wood kind of talk to the ref. I think it was Ted Uncle who was reffing this game. If I'm not mistaken. Oh, no. Pierre Luc Lausier. Oh, fuck you. A French, yeah, yeah. Frenchman.
Thank you for trying it.
Great effort.
There it is. My German's fluent. My French, yeah. I'm still working on.
You can't have both. Your brain can't do both.
Well, I look like Romelu Lukaku.
I know. What, he grew up in the Alsace region of France?
Okay.
Knows French and German?
Okay. We can all be K-Dab, though.
Huh?
All right?
K-Dab right now. He does not know Pierre-Luc. Luc Lausier?
So, what was I saying? Okay, so, yeah. There was a moment when Bobby Wood is looking at the ref, and he kind of points at his face, like at his eyes, and I can't tell if it was a, hey, yo, did you see that? Or
he said something
about my eyes or my face or something like that. So, look, you hate to see stuff like this, and it's like the Philadelphia Union are a just... Look, the fan, I mean, we all have opinions about like Philly fans or whatever, but the Union are just the Union fans love the Union in a way that's different than like the Eagles or the Phillies or whatever. There's just like there's a deeper sort of like there's a sincerity to it. It's a community thing. Yeah. It's like they there's a lot of ownership over the club, and I know this is an embarrassing thing for the fans,
especially this fan base. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So you hate to see it. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's I think 85 days between match one and match two. So
who knows what's going
to happen? There should be some time to sort it out.
So I think they'll figure this out by what, Labor Day next year, which is right before the game.
Disappointing. But overall, any big surprises as far as this first round?
I think
the
biggest surprise is just St. Louis's home field advantage not really existing.
Okay.
Again, it's the first game, but to me, I was shocked. I picked them to go all the way.
I said last week, because you picked them to go all the way, I'm like, Alexis, you need some type of playoff experience to handle some of these moments.
Right.
And they had zero playoff experience.
And I was.
Okay. You know, Roman Berkey hasn't played in many MLS playoffs.
Well, now you got that experience, bro. Don't do that again.
So got it out of the way.
Biggest surprise bad would be St. Louis's approach. Biggest surprise good, I would say LAFC.
I was
going to
say the same thing.
I wasn't sure which LAFC was going to show up.
Looking like old LAFC again.
Yeah. Hey, yo, Denny Bouanga. When he shows up, it's crazy.
I mean, it is.
It's another level.
It is kind of wild. I can't tell if
It looks like LeBron playing.
He turns
against
it
his
off
kids.
And turns it on. It's insane.
He's just so like athletic is not even the word to accurately describe what he does.
There's a superhumanness.
I play in a Sunday league and there's five divisions.
Heavy flex.
Okay. Co-ed, bro.
Yo, damn.
Don't mean to.
Everybody
like...
gets a piece, bro. Okay. Everybody gets cooked by this guy right here.
Okay. Whatever gender you throw at me.
I don't care.
You're
bro.
Getting cooked.
Babies getting cooked out there.
Bro.
Mateo's ankles,
bro. he did the Anthony spin around the stroller, dog. He don't care about you or your feelings.
So, but I play in a. There's five divisions. I play in the fourth one.
Okay. Giving back to the community. Let them see the grace.
Playing the fourth one. But sometimes there are people that, like, bro, you play in second. You shouldn't be playing here with us.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what Denny Bouanga looks like. I'm like, you're in the wrong division, bro. Yeah.
Denny Bouanga looks like a Premier League player who had, like, an issue that got him booted off his team, and he's trying to rebuild his credibility in the lower leagues. Be like, right. Damn, Denny?
Who's Troy, what's his name? Deeney.
Troy Deeney.
Yeah, basically the Troy Deeney story.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. There's a grace with which he plays. That
Dude,
I'm like,
the set
that's
piece.
That's not taught.
The
that's,
set piece that he scored on was, it also, Vancouver did look pretty bad in that particular set piece, but Bouanga's moving so fast that it's just like, he's like strafing. You know what I mean? Like he's like playing like a first person
shooter.
Have you seen
that? Yeah, yeah. Have you seen that meme of that guy?
So fast.
That guy who's walking like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, on the ride.
Yeah, yeah. That's Denny Bouanga out there.
Why does he move so fast laterally, dog?
Bro, he's like gliding with the
the pimp named Slickback song. I'm a pimp named Slickback. Anyway, I watch TikTok. I'm hip.
Now, while he's playing, that's how good he is.
So the LAFC were pretty impressive, and I think really what did it was they were did you see Chirundolo and in the Apple event they did the introduction, and Chirundolo was part of the when they introduced the new MacBook M3.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
either.
So I'm sure we can find it somewhere. I'll look for it. But so Chirundolo, basically the cameras in the LAFC locker room, and it's going, you know, they're highlighting all the Apple sort of products and shows and stuff like that. And then the second like scene is in the LAFC locker room, and Chirundolo has a MacBook, and he's like, "Oh, we got to figure out how to stop this guy," and it's Messi on the screen. Which is like a nice little joke because they got cooked by into Miami during the season.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. All right.
Real quick, before we go to John Strong interview.
Yes.
One word answer. Who's your favorite to win it all now after the first round of matches?
One word.
One word.
That's two words.
Or
one team name.
I'm going to say Columbus.
Yo, Columbus do look good, though.
Columbus did look great against Atlanta.
I got to stick with St. Louis.
Damn, bro.
I'm going down with the ship, bro.
Alexis rearranging the desk chairs on
100%,
the Titanic.
Yeah, man. If they lose, you find me dressed like my wife trying to get on one of them lifeboats, bro.
I mean, this should be the second match from St. Louis and Sporting Kansas City. St. Louis should win that game. You would expect that. There should be a third game there.
I feel like there will be a third game.
Yeah.
Go back to St. Louis, retribution.
Union should take care of the Revs. LAFC should take care of Vancouver away as well. Dynamo, I think, also should
take care of RSL.
Cincinnati just absolutely washed the Red Bulls the other day.
Light work.
Sounders,
light work.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Ferreira missing those...
Two wide open.
Great, great chances. I don't understand what's going on with him.
Bro, he's trying to get traded, bro.
All right, we'll talk some more Major League Soccer with John Strong. Like I said, absolute expert in Major League Soccer. One of the, I would say an MLS historian even.
Yeah,
knows it all.
Juan Fuerte.
That's it. That's why he wants to.
That's his black gold.
All right. Let's do it. Let's chat with John Strong. All right. We are back, and we are joined by John Strong. Literally, it's been too long since we've had him on the show because John Strong is an absolute homie. But joining us now is John Strong, Fox Sports lead play-by-play announcer. Uh-huh. He's called some of the biggest matches on the planet, including the last two FIFA World Cup finals. You can catch his call next month on Fox Sports coverage of the UEFA Euro 2024 qualifiers and December 9th when the MLS Cup airs on Fox.
That's crazy.
John Strong, I read that perfectly.
That was a great read. The lawyers are thrilled at how you did that one. Thank you very much. No, you know, I literally just recently I was thinking to I forget what giant TV network I was watching one of you on as you guys have blown up the last couple of years. I'm thinking to myself, wow, they've really become so much more big time that I haven't been asked to come on for years. And then it was like a week later that you know, I got the email. So I'm thrilled to be chatting with you guys.
Look at that. There's something about your frustration and hatred towards us that puts something out into the universe for us to reconnect.
Resentment. Resentment and jealousy. Those are better words, yeah.
Perfect. You can tell how long we've been married when someone talks bad about us. We're like, ooh. I should reach out.
John,
but I mean, you're an absolute legend. It's always an honor to have you on the show, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how are you doing? How's it been? It's been a couple years since we've had you on the show, but how's it going?
My memory is it was literally a couple weeks before like the COVID pandemic. Like that was sort of, I think, the last time I came in studio with you guys. No, listen, we had an incredible summer. I was gone for 2 months straight. Like we did the Gold Cup, we did the Women's World Cup, and they've kind of left us alone this fall. So I literally, this fall, except for a couple of UEFA Euro qualifiers, we had one MLS game. Like I'm just ferrying my kids around. I'm like assistant coach to my wife on our daughter's soccer team. I'm taking my son to and from places. I've had multiple parents at school pickup be like, so what is it that you do? Because you're just kind of always here. And I just make a weird excuses. So it's been a very nice fall after a crazy summer. We've got a fun couple weeks coming up. End of Euro qualifying, MLS Cup. And then we're kind of gearing up because, I mean, next summer, man, we got Copa America and the Euros right at the same time. Whether people realize that or not, you're going to essentially have a World Cup for a month. Because you'll have Euros games in the morning, Copa America at night, all on Fox Sports. And so, yeah, any chance, you know, Stu and I get, and Alexi and others to kind of actually see our wife and kids and recharge the batteries, we take it, you know what I mean?
I do want to find out because, obviously, the next World Cup is going to be on Fox as well. And I think that's 48, if I'm not mistaken. It's 48 teams.
Yeah. I thought you meant 2048.
No. Yeah, I think that's excessive. But, okay, yes, that is correct, yeah.
48 teams. Bro, we talked to you once before a while ago, and you told us a little bit about your prep work, the index cards, the going crazy with all the notes. They just ratcheted it up even more. Did they even consult with you, dude?
No, it actually works for us, because then when we're in contract negotiations, we're like, hey, you know how many games you have for us to be doing here? Like, no,
they should have wrote that up in the bio.
We've had those conversations of like, do any of us really conceptualize what this 2026 World Cup is going to look like, because, you know, we got a taste of it. I mean, remember, we're in Doha last year, right? Doha, that was basically like New York City hosting a World Cup, like games in the tri-state area. That was what Doha and Qatar was. And then being in Australia, New Zealand, it was like, wait, I have to get on a 3-hour flight to go call a game tomorrow? This is kind of crazy. Like, we get used to the smallness of it. And so I think that's one of those things FIFA's grappling with right now. 100-plus games in that World Cup spread across three continents, and you know, those of us that live here understand, like, hopping on a flight to Guadalajara or to New York or, you know, up somewhere to Canada, like, it's not easy. So, yeah, that's going to be wild. That's going to be an insane summer. So that's where it's like when you're an expectant parent and they're like, when you can sleep, you sleep. That's how we feel about 2026 World Cup. When we can sleep, we sleep. Because when that thing hits, it's going to be insane.
It's going to be a wild That's good life. Advice because, John, since the last time you were on the show, I just had a baby. I have a son. He is 7 months old. And when he sleeps, you know, you sleep. I'm not really using that. I should be, but there's when he sleeps is the only time you can get stuff done. How do you manage this?
I tell you, I do a lot of my prep work very late at night, honestly. Like, that's a big common thing is I put the kids to bed. And I'll sometimes say to my daughter, because she fights sleep, I'm like, you have to go to sleep. I've got 4 hours of, like, DC United prep or whatever. Like, I need you to fall asleep, please, so I can get downstairs and start this thing going. So, yeah, I spend a lot of very late nights. That's why I have out of frame. I have a coffee machine and a tea maker, like in my office, because I just keep that going late at night.
It's just IV of coffee.
Yes, just 100%. Straight caffeine. You're telling a child, if you don't go to bed, we lose the house.
Yeah, seriously. This is literally our livelihoods at stake. I have to know who's starting a goal for Australia. Please, for the love of God.
I would love if your daughter was just like, I don't know what Rooney has done this year. He's playing his keeper out of the box. Yeah. He's getting hit over the top too many times.
It's like your kid's like, I'm so stressed. I can't sleep because, you know, my dad's sitting here trying to figure out what's going on with the Columbus Crew back line. Yeah.
It is funny. I mean, they're starting to get it in different ways. My son's about to turn 10. My daughter just turned 6. And they kind of get like, dad's got a tournament coming up, or dad needs to watch this game for work, or my daughter still occasionally would be like, you know, that's your voice on TV. I'm like, no, that's Steve Cangelosi. I'm sitting right across from you on the couch. That's been a funny process.
No one in the world would confuse your voice with Kanji Man. You got two very distinct voices.
The other funny one that has happened sometimes is my son will watch soccer videos on YouTube, and my voice will come out of, like, the tablet as he's watching. That's a very jarring experience. And it's very normal to him now. Oh, yeah, dad, here's your voice again. Okay, cool.
Bro, all right. if I pulled up like a a Gabriel Jesus highlight clip, and I heard my mother on there like, "Okay, Gabriel Jesus, mira, el fuacatazo que hizo," I'd be like, "Mom,
you have quite." I did not know you were moonlighting.
Yeah. You've got a Premier League range this woman has.
So let's talk about these MLS Cup playoffs because
let's get your first. Let's just get your thoughts. Yeah. On the three games. Best of three first round.
I mean, look, in general, more games. The contract negotiations, you always love to see that.
Love to see that. So,
but outside of that, wow, how are you feeling about it?
You know, I'm one of these weirdos that I actually kind of wait for something to happen before I have an opinion about it. Like, I know that was what made me a very poor sports talk radio host, and it's why I'm not invited on podcasts often, because I don't have hot takes. Like, you know, listen, I remember doing those two-leg aggregate goal series, and people yell and scream about, you know, are we using away goals tiebreakers or not, and why are these lower-seeded teams winning, and where's the advantage for the higher seed, and these sorts of things. And so we switched it, and we went in 2019 to single-game playoffs, and then people are yelling and screaming, the playoffs go by too quick. Some of these teams don't get a home game. I think we do suffer in MLS from whatever the league does. There's a huge army of people who are just going to yell and scream about it no matter what. And so it's hard to judge sometimes whether it is good or not. I mean, you have people, and I understand the reasons why, and some of them are my friends, putting pieces out about how meaningless and awful the regular season is now because of Leagues Cup and this playoff format. They shattered their own prior record for attendance MLS this year. So it's hard to say that like people aren't interested in that. I'm interested to see, you know, the pattern continued of, last year, I think it was more than 80% of the games, it was the home team advancing. So that continued in this one. So does that mean that in all these series, we're going to have the away team win their game at home, so that game two, and then what happens in game three? And I think it just depends on what are you looking for. Do you want drama? Do you want surprise? Do you want action? Is it important for you to have higher-seeded teams advance in every round? Because that gives justification and weight to the regular season. I think a lot of it depends, too, on what form of exceptionalism you subscribe to. Are you a believer in European soccer exceptionalism where you have to do it aggregate goals, two-game series, that's the right and proper way? Or are you a believer in American exceptionalism where, like, we just had a terrific, with the exception of the World Series, the baseball playoffs were terrific this year. We have these incredibly compelling seven-game series in basketball and hockey. And there have been times where we do a great playoff game, we're like, man, it'd be awesome to have another couple games of this. So I'm kind of waiting to see how it plays out. I think it's a bummer that there's been a lot of negativity in front of it because it's been kind of fun so far. But I guess that's the question is like, what are people looking for? What do they want out of their playoffs? And is there really any format that MLS can do that people will universally love? And that the answer to that's probably no, sadly.
So, yeah. I mean, as far as the question about what exceptionalism we prefer, I think the answer is quite clear. So there's not much of an issue there, yeah. But
we do everything right.
But we're allowed to. So I want to answer that question. What as fans do we want from these playoff matches, right? And we want that drama. And what I'll say, and we mentioned this earlier, is that essentially if a game gets too if the lead grows by two goals, the game changes. The tone of the game.
Right, a team could just walk away from it.
Yeah, the energy that a team is going to put in to play that second half or final 30 minutes when they're down two goals, and I think we sort of saw that in a couple of the matches already. So that's my frustration. Every minute in each match doesn't hold the same weight. That's kind of my main concern, and I think the aggregate goals fixes that issue where you give all the effort till the final minute because
then you have to play all three games if it's aggregate.
No, I'm just I'm saying it shouldn't be three games.
You can't just give up in a second half because you know you're down three goals, yeah, and you're just going to go to the next one. And I get that point, and I think again that's a very soccer thing, right? Because in other American sports, when you think about baseball and hockey and basketball, okay, hey you guys, we've lost this one. Let's just circle the wagons, and we've got game two coming up tomorrow. And that's not as big of a thing that people get upset about. But I think in soccer, understandably, we have built this mindset and the mentality of we're doing it right when every single second matters. Like that's the point of kind of the Premier League, is that every single game matters, or aggregate goals, every goal matters. And so I think it is difficult to, if you have that soccer mindset, Whereas if you have, if you're a basketball fan or a baseball fan or a hockey fan, I don't think that's as big of a deal. Okay, this one's lost. We're not going to get this one. Let's put the backups in and rest the bodies. When's the next game of the series? So I get that point. One of the other challenges I would say with the aggregate goal series is how much effort we had to expend explaining to people who was winning. That was a difficult one. So the point that in 2018 in Seattle, the Timbers thought that they had won. And it was like, no, guys, the away goal tiebreaker that happened earlier, that is not a thing anymore. And so that's, I think, one of the things where that became difficult is we had to keep saying, like, yes, Team A is winning tonight, but actually Team B is winning the series, and here's why. And I think that was a difficult for casual fans sometimes to kind of wrap their head around.
Can I make a suggestion? Because every year MLS
playoffs... It's your show, Alexis. You can do whatever you want.
Every year MLS playoffs change, right? It's one of the you know, taxes, death, MLS playoffs change. Here's my suggestion for next year. Everybody makes it in. Single game elimination based on your seeding.
Just like a giant Thunderdome for everyone. I mean, you could...
Pitches around all the pitches.
Okay.
If you really want to get in the weeds of this stuff...
All 48 teams play at the same time on the same pitch.
Yeah. It's a fair point, because here's the thing. You know, when we talk about, like, promotion and relegation, the actual reason that promotion and relegation exists is because of the championship format. Because if you're going to play every team twice, you can't have too many teams in that league. You have to keep the league at a certain size. So otherwise, you're going to have a season that lasts a year and a half. That's really why promotion relegation exists. And what I said to people sometimes is, in MLS, if you have playoffs, you can have 60 teams in MLS. It doesn't matter. It's just a matter of how you want to determine the champion. And so, I get all these. I don't think there's one right answer. I don't think the perfect right answer exists, honestly.
I feel just like I just said it.
Yeah, no, but I think you're right. And that's the problem, is because you sit at the intersection of, like, how American sports leagues do their thing and how European soccer does their thing. And they're both very different. And by the way, lest we forget, the actual most popular soccer league in this country is Liga MX, which has playoffs twice a year. So sometimes we get a little bit too Eurocentric in our thinking of what's the right way to do it. And then Liga MX, they expanded their playoffs too. So, yeah, these conversations are fascinating. But, yeah, I don't. There is never going to be a bright, perfect answer where everyone's happy.
Yeah, I think it's... as fans, we're not, I guess, thinking about, especially the aspect that you're talking about explaining the playoff format to the casual fan. And because we're not casual fans, we're like, we don't even think about the casual fans, right? Like,
somehow we still need to explain it.
So, I mean, that's a, you know, the job of the announcer who is or the narrator to kind of explain what's going on. This is why John is good at his job. He cares about people, and we don't. That's our problem.
It's the elite American soccer fans. You guys are ruining it for everyone. You guys that are showing up every single day at stadiums and doing podcasts and generating content, it's your fault. You've blown it for
ruining it, dude. Just making it harder for everyone else, dude.
So a couple other things. Obviously, I want to just talk about the Portland Timbers, because I know obviously you are a big Timbers fan, so I just want to make sure get your thoughts on the season.
Hey, don't smear me with that. Don't call me a big Timbers fan. Hold on, you just tuned out 80% of the audience with that, as we've discovered.
Yeah, he roots for Timber Joey only.
Yes.
I mean, look, you're.
I root for the chainsaw. Whatever the chainsaw does, yes. Yeah.
Shocking season, I would say. You know, lots of ups and downs, obviously, getting rid of the coach. But for a team that generally, like, especially the signing of Evander, who I thought was just, I think is going to be an absolute star in this league, just such an absolute baller. But they just couldn't figure it out, and it all fell apart even in the last game of the season, and didn't make the playoffs. But just a quick temperature check. How do you feel about the Timbers this year?
It's and my son and I were at that game, decision day against Houston, and the atmosphere, it felt like a playoff atmosphere. It was terrific, and the team just didn't. They just weren't there. And I really enjoyed how Houston played. They were a really interesting team to me. It was fun watching them in person. Listen, It's tough because I have longstanding personal relationships with a lot of these people. I think it starts at the top right now with the Timbers. And one of the strengths of the Portland Timbers historically was really active, engaged ownership with Merritt Paulson. And I think for a long time I would have said the defining characteristic of successful MLS teams are ones where the owner, him or herself, is really involved day by day, and or has empowered financially and otherwise other people to make decisions. It's absentee ownership that hurts MLS clubs. And you can look at the teams in MLS that struggle, and you can look at their ownership struggle, and you can kind of figure out the reasons why, generally speaking. Not always true. And so my concern for Portland right now is you have in Merritt Paulson an owner who has said, I'm not going to be involved day to day. So either he's really not and he's really handed over the keys, or he is but he's trying to not appear to be. Either way, it's not a great situation. It's kind of a stasis. And you go from the guy who was the GM forever in Gavin Wilkinson. Big change to Ned Grabovoy. It's his first time as a GM. You've had huge changes on the business side. I mean, it's the three most important people from a front office perspective for the Timbers' success are gone overnight for very legitimate reasons. And I don't think they've even come close to figuring out what the future looks like, really, and what that successful pathway looks like. So some of the stuff was a long time coming. Listen, Dairon Asprilla, Sebastian Blanco, absolute legends. But, like, you've been relying on them for years now to save you off the bench. Like, that was what I noticed in the second half, where it's like, here comes Dairon and here comes Blanco. You know, it's like it's 2018. Like, it's hard sometimes to have succession plans and to turn over rosters in MLS. I think Evander, I agree with you. Evander could be something. They've got some other pieces. They've had a hard time, the Timbers, historically, getting young guys in and ramped up. It's been hit or miss. Coaching change. There's a lot that needs to happen. But at the end of the day, what they can always rely on is they've got a city and a fan base that's really engaged in a significant way. And there's something that's always going to be special about Portland, about the Timbers. And so I'm really hoping they figure it out. But it very much does start from the top.
Yeah, I'm just shocked. The strategy of Dairon, get in there and do a couple bicycle kicks.
Yeah, yeah. You know you got in that locker.
Hey, it's worked. It's worked a lot.
Yeah.
absolutely remarkable. So, I want to mention it because the Euros draw is happening December 2nd. And it's going to be on Fox. Are you involved in it? Are you?
I'm going to be hosting because it's a college football Saturday. So the draw itself. And we all know if we love soccer, we know that no one loves a draw show more than these soccer confederations. FIFA, UEFA, CONMEBOL.
The pageantry.
This is it. So I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to be hosting our sort of studio show. Stu is going to be in Hamburg, Germany, where the draw is going to be. I'm going to be on the desk filling in for Rob. Listen, we're so excited to have the Euros on Fox Sports for the first time. It's been so much fun doing these qualifiers. You've got, you know, a couple teams that have pulled away that look really good. You've got a bunch of other nations that are right in the mix going down to the final day. Italy has a terrific chance to miss yet another big tournament, which is really exciting here in 2 weeks and how that's going to play out. Scotland are back in for the first time in forever, and Stu is beyond excited about that. So we're so thrilled to have the Euros on Fox Sports. As I said, we've got the Euros and Copa America at the exact same time. And so to have these day-night doubleheaders next summer is going to be incredible. The draw for Copa America is coming up too. So yeah, I'm thrilled to get to be a part of it, and you get subjected to more of my face in addition to my voice on television in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean we need more of both, John. Frankly,
also, John, can I just get you saying into the camera how important these games are going to be, both the Euros and Copa America, and that's really just so I can show my wife when this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Not present.
Hi, I'm John Strong. If you're a significant other or someone that is trying to give up 4 weeks of their life to watch nothing but soccer, I can assure you how legitimate and non-grounds for divorce that is. Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people usually have those, like teams will have those template letters that they would send and post on social media so you can give to your employer to say, like, why you will be missing work.
Right. Very important.
Now, I mean, we have the luxury of just speaking to the person
very
actively involved.
Well, I can do a couple dummy. What I can do is I can cover my face and it'd be like 2025 FIFA Club World Cup and be like, you know,
yeah.
MLS Cup conference semifinals. Like, it's, yeah. Yeah, whatever it is you want to insert there.
Good,
for sure.
I appreciate it. We were just gonna do AI, John Strong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't need it.
That we're about 5 or 6 years away from, like, hey, listen, John and Stu, we love you guys, but we have enough on tape already. The computers have it from here. Thank you for your service. Yeah.
Amazing.
You might have just saved my marriage, so thank you.
Okay. I mean, look, I think for us, we could use the excuse of like, honey, this is for work. This is the research I need to do.
Yeah, but we watch so much soccer that I think my wife thinks I'm watching old games to just not do chores. Okay. You know what I mean?
Just trying to avoid her.
She's
now
looking for like live or en vivo at the time. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't think he knows how to
listen,
work the VR.
It's one of the biggest scores that I nailed was marrying a woman who is herself a soccer fan. And so that's been one of the best things. Is when it's like, hey, sweetie, you know, the U.S. is playing Ghana. She's like, absolutely. What time? No problem. And getting our son into it now as well, that's like family entertainment to watch games, which is a huge blessing. Because I know a lot of colleagues of mine where it is much more beg, borrow, and steal to sit and watch these games sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I'll tell you, you know, I married someone who's really into cooking chicken parm. She's so good at it.
Hey, man.
And maybe I don't get to watch soccer, but I get cured meats and chicken parm. It's pretty good.
Yeah. You got to pick your battles.
Yeah.
You
she doesn't do for me with the soccer, she does. Whenever I come home from a road trip, she always makes me chicken parm. It's the best.
Yeah. My wife is more like she'll watch me watch Everton.
Yeah.
And or look at the Everton result and be like, okay, it's gonna be a rough day.
Yeah. Let me put my hand on his shoulder.
She knows that I need compassion at this time.
Well, you didn't have a choice. I mean, you were born into Everton because you grew up right down the street from the stadium. Right. There's literally no other team
Scouse
that you could be a fan of. Yeah.
He was the Dominican in Liverpool. His wife one time did say, like, I just don't know why he didn't pick a good team, which is the perfect.
Like you literally volunteered for this.
Look, I blame Tim Howard for forcing my hand to make the decision because he was the only connection I had to the Premier League at the time. Mm. But you know what? I've gotten to tell Tim Howard to his face. I say it a lot more politely.
Yeah.
I say it more politely than I'm saying it now.
Yeah, because he does look like an action hero in person.
Well, to that point, it was one of my favorite things in the last year or so of American soccer is how many Americans falling in love with Leeds and then falling very, very much out of love and like now hating Leeds United. That was a really fun, tragic circle.
Falling out of love with the Americans.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, you said what about Jesse Marsh? You're dead to me. We're done. We're done here. Thank you.
I do love that all those American Leeds fans became Manchester United fans and like, this team too? Damn.
Maybe it's us. Maybe that's the issue.
That's what Harry Kane is saying right now.
John, another reminder. So December 2nd, the Euros draw, and then December 9th, you'll be on the call with Stu for the MLS Cup final on Fox Sports.
There's perfect voice.
It's on regular
for
Fox,
MLS
right?
Cup.
I'm assuming it's going to be on regular Fox.
We'll be on Network Fox once again, yes.
Amazing, amazing. So I'm sure
the perfect voices for that game. Love both of you.
I'm sure we'll probably see you there at MLS Cup. We'll most likely be there. We usually always go. So it'll be great to reconnect wherever MLS Cup is. So John Strong, thank you so much for hanging out, man. This is seriously it was nice to just. I mean, we talk shop, but it's just great to see you, man. Great to see you, buddy.
I appreciate that. I'm happy to know we haven't been forgotten, which is nice. Hopefully wherever we are, Cincinnati, Orlando. What's the priority list right now? Whatever city we end up in the second week of December. Look forward to seeing you.
Right, right, right.
It doesn't matter where it is. We're going to be there. All right. We're back.
We are back, Dan.
All right. You know, across the decades, Stu Gotts and I, you know, Stu Gotts, when we first started working together, it was great.
It was Dan. And you know, the one of my favorite things to talk to you about.
All right. Can one of our 75 producers with microphones say something now?
Yeah, what's up, guys? How are you?
Okay, look at that. Yeah. Great.
Hey, bit of a gas bag.
quite the gas bag, Dan. I mean,
all right. I'm going to walk away now for 4 hours.
Well, I just want to make sure and remind everybody that soccer is dead, folks. And I don't know what to tell you.
Where's the tequila?
Nobody watches
it.
Over there? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the sport. Okay? I know these young people. They keep telling me soccer is
And you're live, Pablo Torre. What are your thoughts?
You know, man, it's crazy out there, man.
All right.
Well done. All
Great
right.
job, Mike, Ryan, Ruiz. All three of you have done an incredible job booking the show across the decade.
We got to make sure we thank John Strong.
Oh, one. Fuerte.
Juan Fuerte.
People forget because I speak with such a professional accent
that
I'm Guano okay. and born in Jersey.
We are white. We are white. We are quite.
What a Stu Gatz impression.
Is that a thing? That's a thing Stu Gatz
said. He would have said. You make mistakes,
well,
why, Stu
We
Gatz.
Make mistakes, you know.
I feel like my hat's not high enough for...
We're, you know, I'm a fan of the Grateful Dead. I hate soccer. I love cigarettes, and I constantly imply that I smoke marijuana.
Speaking of Grateful Dead, the Yankees in this playoffs
or the Jets? Why am I a Jets fan? What am I doing? Okay, you don't have to adopt everything Long Islanders do. Why did I do this to myself?
Guantanamera.
All right. Halloween is still here, folks.
Right. People said Alexis doesn't dress up.
Okay. Right. Well, let people see the shirt, though.
Straight out of 305.
Okay. Let's go.
Bro. Miami people be wearing some of the loudest t-shirts, bro.
I got my Grateful Dead shirt.
Got the Bears hat, Dancing Bears. Got
Let's
the sink.
Let's go. What are we doing here?
Bro. Shout out Levitard Show. Shout out the big
Shout
bosses.
Out Levitard Show, man.
Okay. Just two gas bags on Levitard Show. You love to see it, okay?
Juju, say something cool so Gen Z listens.
Hey, Juju, we got to make sure we never see your eyes. That's my only rule, Juju. Yeah.
Hey, Jess, say something so that the comments go crazy.
Okay. We got a strategy, folks. All right.
You know you got too many people when there's stadium seating for your producers.
Okay.
I'm going to just be honest with you.
I thought they were doing a college lecture on that show.
Is this part of Everton's new stadium, bro?
All right. Amazing. Thank you. Happy Halloween, everybody.
That's all of our producers.
Let's get to...
Tight five.
Let's
baby.
Get to tight five.
We're doing it again.
All right, because people.
It's back.
All three of you loved it.
So we're doing it again.
We're doing it again.
So just a reminder, you know, a tight five is the thing that, you know, stand up comics, they'll do their late night set. They're like, they try to work a perfect 5 minute set. To display, to show to everybody, to showcase what they can do. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that.
It took you
that.
6 minutes to explain a type five.
Okay. I did it. Well, you're being Dan right now, bro. You're being Dan.
You gas bag. Maybe Dan, there's some wisdom in that.
Okay. I think Alexis just doesn't like explaining things to anybody.
You get it. 5 minutes.
Nobody.
Set.
No, sometimes Boom. People don't get it. Anyway,
so we got five categories, 1 minute each. Mm-hmm. Going to get ready. You guys are going to have to react to whatever I say. 1 minute. Going to hit the bell on to the next category.
Super this cigarette simple. Is leaking little things everywhere.
Okay.
You didn't pack it. Let me
the
see
life of Stu Gatz.
I know how to smoke. I'm
pack
a smoker.
It. Pack it.
All right. Ready? You guys ready? Going to go with the first topic.
Here we go.
For Stu Gatz / Christian, Everton have won 2 games in a row. What do you guys think?
Well, we won 2 games in a row. Carabao Cup competition was still in it. Arsenal is not. I feel pretty good about that. The main thing here is beating West Ham and then beating Burnley, which is like, I mean, what are you going to do? It's Burnley. But looking all right. The confidence is there, and I sense a trophy in our future. Is that crazy to say?
Yes.
Because I think it could happen. We look all right. We look all right. What
it's
are you
not
thoughts?
A full minute yet?
Oh, it's only 30 seconds.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, look, good. Everton fans have one thing to cheer about, and that is a cup none of us care about. Congratulations. I hope you win it, and I hope what you win is enough money to finish your stadium.
Okay.
All right, we got a minute. We're at a minute. Second one, the bus attack during the Lyon Marseille that canceled the game last week.
There's no humor in this.
This was, I mean, look, it's just sad, unfortunate. You hate seeing stuff like this. This is a you know, the coach, we saw the pictures and his eyes like bloody, and I think he had to get stitches and stuff like that. I think another, an assistant coach maybe also got injured as well.
9 arrests have been made. Am I allowed to interrupt?
Yeah.
No, I forgot how this works. 9 arrests have been made, and I found out that they were throwing petanque balls, bocce balls.
What?
That's what they were throwing through the window. So this was premeditated, because you don't go to a game with bocce balls.
This is crazy. I mean, what are these, a bunch of old Italian men in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn?
The 5 Italian men and 2 Jamaican dudes. That's who calls it petanque.
Who's into
It was absolutely, this is horrific, more horrific than the clothes I'm wearing. It's sad, and it's a sad, sad state for the world of soccer, and especially Ligue 1.
All right, next one. Weston McKennie, Moise Kean, and Tim Way hitting the squabble video.
The squabble. You saw it? Okay. Look, Stugatz and Dan doing the squabble. I'd love to see it.
Look, this. The goal was called back.
The goal was called
but
back.
But don't matter, because the vibes were allowed by VAR. You feel me?
All right.
This is what we do, bro.
The energy was not called back. It was totally fine, man. That was dope. It was
we're bringing positive vibes. So what were they listening to before this? Solo mio. You know what I mean?
Hold on. Because Moise Kean, even before Weston McKennie got there, was, sure.
Now he was doing that alone. Now he got some people around him.
Because
we're encouraging him.
Okay.
What were y'all doing over there? When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie. That's what y'all were doing.
Moise Kean was wondering why Chiellini wasn't getting in.
He's like, nah, Chiellini, bro. What
you
doing?
Why are you dabbing with me, bro? Yeah. Chiellini, what? What's
How about
wrong?
That go? All right, Chiellini, go. Go.
It's a shame.
Go on.
All right.
Next one. Lionel Messi won the Ballon d'Or, guys. An MLS player won the Ballon d'Or.
Can we put the photo up that Adidas put up?
I'll put it up.
Yo. Didn't get a fresh haircut for this photo. The photo where he's like this.
With the rings?
Bro, he got no fade. How you doing that? This is a failure from Adidas. This is a failure from Lionel Messi.
Wow.
His wife, his children, his people, his barbers, the Puerto Rican dude who cuts his hair for Inter Miami. Everybody failed.
Wow.
Everybody missed the intelligence, bro. This is crazy.
You're the only one who's made this complaint.
Bro, his hair's crazy on the sides. Nah.
That proper fade wasn't...
But at least he got all the rings. I mean, he did kind of flex.
Congratulations to him. Did he really deserve it? It feels a little bit... I'm still a little bit like, yo, Erling Haaland, I think, got a massive snub. But it
nah,
is...
Nah, he deserved it.
It is messy.
Can't say ocho, bro.
Yeah, dude.
He got to wear a Kobe jersey.
Okay. All right, last one, last topic. Since it is Halloween, you guys are dressed up. What is the least favorite candy that you guys have out there?
Candy corn.
Is it the
candy corn automatic?
The least favorite? I mean, candy corn is bad.
I'd rather have raisins. You know, in one family, they give you raisins. And you're like, yo, your house gonna get egg, bro. And if we really hated you, we'd throw candy corn.
I'm a healthy food like fan, so right? Like, yo, give me the raisins.
Why are you asking Christian about this? Biggest failure is him. What are you, Messi's barber?
Candy corn is not a good candy. I'm trying to think. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of a worse one. So it has to be candy corn. But there's some bad. I guess. You know the like grandma candies that some people give?
Like the Werther's or the little strawberry
joint? Yeah.
Yeah, we know that's like penny candy,
you
bro.
You can't be given those are called something. What's the actual name of it?
I don't know the name. John.
I just found out the name of it recently.
Really?
Yeah. It has like
I
just thought
have
it was like abuela candy, but
abuela candy. They always have them. Like, where do you get these? They give this at a church?
All right.
Hey, that's a tight five, folks.
Hey!
Come on.
Shout out to the homie.
Mark Norman.
Mark Norman for being a part of tight five, forever being a part of tight five. So,
you're locked in, baby.
Okay, so shout out to Mark. Thank you so much for doing that. And that's another tight five in the books, everybody. Mm. Again, shout out to John Strong for joining us. A reminder, go watch MLS Cup Final. The Euros draw coming up on Fox Sports, and as always, make sure you subscribe to the Cooligans podcast wherever you get the podcast, and subscribe on YouTube. Join the Patreon. We had we have a really dope episode out right now about all the drama going on in WOZO, in women's soccer.
That's a way to put it.
but go check that out, because that is exclusively available on Patreon. Patreon.com/soccerhooligans. All right. We'll be back on Monday with another hot episode. We have the NWSL playoffs are starting back up.
There's too many playoffs
this weekend.
Playoffs happening all at once.
Very cool guest on Monday. Another
this is what
cool
we do.
Guest.
So we'll recap some big matches in NWSL on Monday. And so a lot to look forward to, everybody. All right.
Oh, we have a special guest on Monday.
Yeah, coming in studio.
Why do I not remember who's
coming? I believe you do. Morning Footy. Drinks mate. You'll find out who it is.
Oh, okay. Who could it be? Who drinks mate on there?
Yeah, anyone. Ali Trostmorton, everybody.
it's just gonna be Susanna wearing Charlie's jacket.
Oh no. Where's she gonna land the jet? Highway to the danger zone.
All right, we'll see you Monday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.